It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. We are right in the middle of an exciting weekend, exciting time of year here in the Midwest, in the Missouri and Illinois area, and we got another great show for you today. Thank you for being with us. Of course, we will get you that fishing report a little bit later on in the show, as we do each and every week for folks that are getting out on the water this weekend. I know a lot of guys like to take us with them and podcast form and take advantage of that weekly fishing report out on the water live. So we'll get that to you in a little bit, and some great conversation coming our way. We have Mike Marfell in studio with us, professional fisherman. Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys.
Of course, producer Quentin is here, and I'm Tony Colombo, and my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors here as well.
Yep, it's great to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. Another week. So, boys, first question, most important question, have the cicadas shown up at your place yet? Because they are emerging.
Yes. So we're starting to get reports from all over the area. Yep. Yeah. Cicadas.
Yeah. And
I haven't heard any out in Fenton yet, but I don't have a single tree in my yard personally. So maybe that's why.
And what's crazy right now about how crunch time we are right now, no pun intended, is that, you know, this show, like it said, we aired a podcast, so you could be listening to it on, you know, on Saturday on the air, Sunday on the air, or Monday as a podcast, whatever it is. So it really is like 24-hour difference now, because I've seen pictures from people, friends, that have them all over their backyard.
Yeah, my buddy in Nashville, they're just stacked in
his
backyard.
In the St. Louis area, it's like, you know.
They weren't there, and then they're there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like in some spots, it's so weird. You'd think that they would all emerge at the same moment.
Yeah, buddy, my brother, he sent me a picture. He lives up by Rochester, by Springfield, Illinois. And same thing there. They weren't there, and then the next day the tree was covered with
Market's going to cut into business big time, because now all you need is a mason jar and some cicadas.
Yes, I know.
You'll have to just come get one eagle claw hook and one split shot.
Cicadas.
Do you have any more cicada lures?
Every species.
You still have any cicada lures?
Oh, yeah,
left?
There's still some left.
Yeah?
But we've been showing them to people. I think I'm going to get one of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one of those.
Oh, yeah. My God, especially right now.
Yeah. It's going to be on.
You can catch every species of fish on one of those things.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
You worried about your dogs?
That time of year,
Yeah, that's a good point.
Our own Vic Porcelli.
It doesn't hurt him,
yeah,
does it?
It's gross. I don't even like to tell this story that he says he just, like, he's eating grapes off the vine. The dog just goes up to the tree and just, and just crunching away on these cicadas.
Is that while they're in their little cocoon?
Cute, right? I just can't. I can't.
Yeah. I had a dog that used to love to eat June bugs. I mean,
my dogs definitely do that.
Yeah, at least there's some skill to like.
Yes,
you
got to catch a June bug.
These are just plucking them off the tree.
Gluttony.
No, I don't think it's the exoskeleton that they leave.
Right when they're emerging.
Yeah, it's just there's so many of them walking up the trees that you can just pick them off as they're going.
Imagine how much they smell to a dog if we can smell them like that. It's got to be rough.
Mm-mm.
I feel bad for people riding motorcycles right now. That's got to sting.
Literally.
Yeah. It's a pretty good size hard bug.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much, like, all honesty, though, like, it is a great thing to some free bait for everybody,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Mark,
for sure.
Wait, next time this happens, 14 years from now? We got to be ready. We got to just bottle these things up like crazy and keep them for 14 years and sell them throughout the year, because
yeah, it's going to be that many years before they're around again.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, can you freeze dry cicadas?
I don't know. I guess you could.
There's an industry here, boy.
Who was the guy that was freeze dicing all the stuff that we were down at the show in Marion?
Oh, yeah, that was, I forget what his name was, but yeah, he had the Eskimo pies and
ice
the
cream
Skittles.
Sandwiches.
Yeah, ice cream sandwiches.
Skittles. That's cool. Did one of you bring me those Skittles?
Yeah,
I think it did. Yeah.
Those were good. Freeze dried Skittles.
The ice cream sandwiches were nutty. It was just you didn't need a cooler, just pop in your mouth.
Yeah. And it tasted just like an ice cream sandwich. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Milk Duds, that was the one that grew to be like that big.
Yes, the Milk Duds, yep.
I have a question for you two outdoor experts.
It's for you.
We used to call them locusts. Now we call them cicadas. What's the difference? Is it like an alligator and a crocodile? Like they're very similar looking
I don't know. That's a good question.
I have no idea.
They were...
We like to change language all the time.
Life.
So.
Yeah, well, that's true. Maybe they identify as a cicada.
That could be.
That could be an identity problem.
That could be. It.
You're looking it up? I'd love to know. I'd love to know the answer, because my whole life they were called locusts.
Locusts, yeah.
And now they're called cicadas. You're looking too cute. If you get us an answer, let
makes
me know.
You sound smarter when you say cicada, I think.
Yeah. Maybe my guess is it's like a.
Oh, okay. So
is there a difference?
They
are they
to learn that unlike locusts or cicadas, don't chew leaves, decimate crops, or fly in swarms. So they are a difference.
So there are a difference.
Different bugs.
So these are
cicadas
not locusts.
Don't destroy crops. Right?
Cicadas don't destroy crops. Looks like they must emerge, mate,
locusts do
die,
and then they go back.
That's the life right there.
They live for 14 years. And
underground.
13 and a half of them are underground, and they come up for a couple months, and then they die.
They mate and die.
And then they go, and then they, another generation just lives underground until the right before they die. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. But okay, so was I just wrong?
Sounds like
were they cicadas that we always had growing up, and we just called them locusts?
I think they looks like grasshoppers and locusts are actually the same.
Oh,
the same family.
I'm not a big bug guy. I don't like touching bugs.
Yeah, that's why you need to get a cicada lure. Instead of a...
It's probably why I started bass fishing for the artificial bait, so I didn't have to touch worms and stuff.
And I know as a kid, we used to have to go out to my uncle in Kansas City. Just go out there for 2 weeks, spend time fishing. But we had one pond that was just full of bullhead catfish.
Nice.
And so we'd spend the first couple hours just running down grasshoppers and throwing them in your can.
Yeah.
To get your bait, you know, to go catch those bullheads, and then you'd spend 3 or 4 hours out there catching bullheads.
Nice. And were you putting those on a split shot to get them down there, too?
Yeah, you were basically just a split shot, small hook, because bullhead's not real big, and just flipping them out there. And
they make good sandwiches, though.
Yes, and, they, you know, they're only 8, 10 inches long, but they don't get real big, and, you know, we just clean them, cook them.
Yeah, there's...
It's a very small catfish.
I've caught a lot of bass on cicadas just on top, just with no weight. Just hook
it,
throw it up in
a
pond, throw it up in some, what do you call them? Cattails.
That's the most natural.
It's just flopping around.
Right? That's well, that'd be the most natural presentation, right?
Yep.
Because that's what would really
happen.
That's
on the water.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to either use a cicada lure or use cicadas when I get my hands on one. Because I found this new spot.
Yeah, you need to go try it out there.
A couple times. In fact, a little bit later on the show, one of the things that I want to have a conversation with you guys about, and Mike specifically want to get your thoughts on, is I've got this new little fishing spot by my house, and James and I, my 7-year-old son, we are freaking loving it. And, you know, it's one of those bluegill, you know, catch a bluegill every cast type deals.
Yep.
You know, he's got his little Jurassic Park.
It's heaven.
It's heaven. It is heaven. And I've also been able to catch catfish. Pretty steady. Pretty steady. But I am struggling, and I know they're there because I've talked to some of the. There's a boat ramp, and I've talked to some of the guys that have been coming and going, and you know.
So you're not catching any bass,
and I'm not catching any bass. So I do want to talk to you about that in a little bit, and then obviously also that'll help us lead into the fishing report a little bit later on in the show. But right now, I wanted to touch on the archery events because again, depending on when you're listening to this. Might not be too late, especially if you're listening on Saturday, to get out to one of the two events. Remind folks about the Mountain Archery Fest and the R100.
Yeah, so the R100 is going on, like I said, Friday through Sunday. 250 target courses, North American animals and African safari exotics in the other one. It's out at the Warren Leavis Boy Scout Camp there in Godfrey. You can go out to the R100. I think it's r100.org. Has the calendar out there as far as the daily schedule. And then the other one is the Mountain Archery Fest, mm-hmm. which is going on at Campsville.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's mountainarcheryfest.com. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of events in addition to archery going on out there.
Yeah.
Bags tournament.
The cornhole tournament going on.
Yeah, the cornhole tournament. They got some
Bags, fitness. By the way, is the right term for that.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable with that.
Me too.
And that makes more sense.
It does. It does.
But they also got the fitness stuff going on out there, right?
Yep.
So there's a lot going on out there, too. So, yeah, check out one of them or check out both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great weekend.
Even if you're not shooting, go check it out.
Yeah, go check them out. I mean, you're never going to have, you know, two of these world-class archery events in the same general area in the same weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they both
have that it happened this year, and you know, enjoy it.
Yeah, and they both have a ton of great vendors, food, games for the kids. There's lots of other things to check out, whether or not you're shooting or not. And some of those, especially like some of those more recreational or fun targets that they have out there, like the dinosaur targets.
Yeah, dinosaur targets. Yeah. There's a Sasquatch, maybe, you know, all kinds of cool stuff.
So. Both of those locations. I grew up right in River Air, right next to Camp Warren Levis. So I spent a lot of time, may or may not have been trespassing, to fish that lake and just hike down at the Boy Scout camp.
Yeah, it's a great
and then
gray
Campsville,
area. It's a gray area.
Right on the Illinois River. I mean, it's a cool spot, too.
Yep.
Right?
Nice area.
I mean, it's so spring weekend. Get out. Yeah. Take your kids. Get out.
Yep. Are you hearing anything from the guides on the water here recently? Any new stories from?
Not a lot new. The rivers are finally starting. They're still running high. They're still running fast. They're still running muddy. But there's not as much debris coming down them right now. So they've kind of stabilized a little bit from
that.
So
a lot of
aspect.
That, hopefully a lot of that stuff is flushed out. And
yep.
It's already
gone or sank.
So even if the, is it fair to say that going forward, even if there's a lot more rain, we've seen a lot of rain this week. If we see more rain, that while that will contribute to, there's always current danger, you know, dangers with the current and things like that. But hopefully, at least the big rush of the big
of the debris
ugly
is,
debris is hopefully behind us. Is
I'm hoping. I mean, if you get another giant 6-8 inches of rain short period of time somewhere,
if it comes up 2-3 more feet, it'll grab more debris.
It grabs more debris. Yeah.
So
right.
Yeah, there's plenty of debris on the banks of the Mississippi, Missouri, and Illinois River.
It just gets.
How does that current specifically that rain, especially the rain from up north, and I'm talking, Mark, about Mississippi River and the Missouri River specifically, the Illinois River, you know, those that main area, the confluence and all that, where a lot of your catfish guides are fishing, and a lot of these local tournaments are happening. How much of an impact does the rain up north and that current and those changing water conditions have on the fishing? Can it ruin it, or is it just
so
a different,
it changes it?
Okay,
I mean, it's really how you have to when it's the current's going fast, those fish are trying to get out of it. Even, you know, the bait fish, the skipjack, the shad, they're trying to get out of it. So they move to where there's less current. So it's a great time when the water gets up and stable. They'll be up the creeks, the smaller rivers that are kind of backed up. That's where they go.
They'll get out in the backwaters and behind the wing dams, right, Mark? I mean, that's just it.
Yeah, they get out of that
current.
It
kind of narrows them down.
Yep.
It's kind of like a sunny day at Lake of the Ozarks. It puts them on the docks.
And we'll probably touch on this also during the fishing report, but that's got to have – all this rain has got to be affecting Lake of the Ozarks
I got stuff, yeah.
Yeah, yeah so yeah. They've been having to alter
the – dams at both ends are running 50,000, Mark.
Oh, wow.
Moving some water.
It's cooking.
Yeah.
And it looks like Yoo-Hoo up the rivers.
Is there any any fear of like – remember a couple of years ago when we had the no wake throughout the entire lake?
Not yet.
We're not near that level.
We're still a foot and a half under full pool right now.
Okay, gotcha.
Because they got both ends open.
So they're managing it.
Yes.
As it's happening.
Controlled flooding, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
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 They and say is that, flood control by. Yeah.
Would you say same thing without getting into the specifics, which we'll do later, that it doesn't necessarily ruin.
Just repositions.
It just changes how you.
I worry about the spawn with this much current.
Hmm.
But.
Where are we at in the spawn?
Still a lot of pre-spawners.
Really?
And there's ones on beds. There's less post-spawn fish than I would have thought by now.
Yeah, me too, if that's the case. Yeah.
Because it was just for your, I mean, the temps got up, then they dropped. Cold rain came in, dropped, pushes them back off the beds. Mm-hmm. And then they come back on. It happened a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah.
It's still only six. I mean, I say only, but it's 64 to 71, depending on where you're at the lake. So, and you know, with the water going up and down and the current, and it dirtied it up. They'll hold on as long as they can to try to let it stabilize.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going on. Obviously, I'm not an expert, but my experience tells me they're going to hold on for until
you're the closest
last
thing we have to an expert. So
just a
go
touch
it.
Above Quentin.
Because, and this just could be, I mean, obviously my ignorance, but also because we had that that stretch a few weeks ago where we had that run of like 80-degree days, I would have guessed that by now we would be more post spawn.
Yeah, but I think the water moving, right, Mark, is keeping it cool too.
Yes, because right. that water's and that's they've been some pretty cold rains. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been pretty big cold fronts, and they've been pretty tall clouds. You know, it gets pretty cold. I mean, that water drops. And it's cold.
And at 50,000 at both ends, it's moving fast enough that you can physically see it.
So
like
that,
if you were fishing a channel, a bluff,
yeah,
you can see the debris and the current moving down the bluff. It's moving. I mean, if you're where the old river channel is. Let me say this too while we're talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, please.
If you're down there and you're fishing or you're just recreational boating, there's so much stuff floating at the Lake of the Ozarks right now. Keep in mind if you got mapping. If you that debris tends to stay where the old river channel was for the most part. That's where it'll float the most.
Oh, okay.
So if you're running, stay out of the main channel. Get over there, and if you have to cross it, slow down and be careful because mm-hmm. there's could be that's where the stuff's floating.
I tends tell to,
you know what
many,
I'm saying? There's still a little, there's still current over that, even over you're in 90 feet of water.
I can't
water.
Tell you how many times my impeller alarm has gone off or something's got sucked up in the motor
sure.
just from flying across the main channel.
Yeah.
It just can be. It is a real
lot of debris. I mean, the same
even,
thing.
Sometimes
at lake,
you don't even
right?
see it. Sometimes it's a foot below the water.
Well, think about this. Everybody blows their leaves and stuff down to the bank, and then when the water comes up, there they all go.
You sweep everything into the water.
And you know, I hate to say it, I try to pick up trash at lake, but there's way too much trash on the banks still at Lake of the Ozarks. It makes me sick.
Yeah. How big of a problem could that is that turning into down there? Because it's not like the river where it'll all eventually just flush away, all you know, just go down to the end of the river.
Oh, it will. It'll go through the dam.
It does?
Yeah, like, I mean, like I think all that certain, junk not, maybe not great big trees or anything, right. but not like at the lock when they
because
open
I
that,
can,
dude, all
yeah,
kinds of big.
All kinds of crap comes.
Every come once in a while, Mark, down at the Alton Pool, they'll just crack it open because they'll be like, it looks like you can walk across the debris and trash. There'll be right. coolers and basketballs and volleyballs and lawn chairs
and the big flood,
sunglasses.
Boat sitting out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big flood. There'll be an old boat sitting there. They'll just crack it up and goes. That's Louisiana's problem now. There we go. So
boats,
but it, yeah,
yeah. No, I know.
But yeah, it's a problem.
I might go picking next time that's happening, right? Q. Yeah, like, we're, I'm gonna get a boat out of this deal.
Yeah, but yeah, Lake of the Ozarks is it's plenty of debris. I mean, especially. Up in the Grand Glaze when the state park where all that debris laying. And
I guess I just never really thought about how it does flush with the dams because.
We're flushing Lake of the Ozarks right now. It's a complete flush.
I just, you know, like there's been times where it just feels like that lake is just nothing but debris.
Yeah.
And it can just be, it can ruin a good time. You know, if you're. A
lot of sawdust mats. I call them sawdust mats out there. It's wood pieces and leaves and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll use, you can fish that stuff punching it like you would grass or lily pads.
Yeah.
They'll use it for cover just like.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Use what's available.
All right. Lots more to talk about as we go through the afternoon. Plus that fishing report coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Well, I got up early on this Lord's Day with the sun peeking through the curtains. Thought I'd wet a line for a couple good hours.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
The sky is blue and the breeze is.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back into the studio here at the Bluff City Outdoor Show. Tony Colombo here with producer Quentin, Mike Marfell, and my partner, Mark McMurray. A lot of M's in this room.
Yep, a lot of M's.
Sounds like a morning show in here.
Yeah, and then whenever we talk to our friends at Intervine, the guys with the flashlights, and his name is Mike McCleary. And that's
bunch
it,
of M's.
Like,
yep.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, but
it
welcome back.
It is a bunch
back. Of M's, yep. It is a bunch of M's. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. We're going to have that fishing report, weekly fishing report for you coming up in just a few minutes. Before I ask why I've forgotten how to catch bass fish, any kind of bass fish, and hopefully can get back on track, Mark, I wanted to ask you about trapping supplies, and because that is one of the – I think we're the only place that talks about the trapping community.
And guaranteed.
It's just a really unserviced community, and I know it's a smaller niche community of the outdoor, of the, you know, broad outdoor community, but it's growing. It's solid. And from guests that we've talked to in the past, I mean, it's still an industry that exists. And I just feel like, you know, it's massively underserved.
Yeah, so when fur prices are high, mm-hmm. a lot of people get into it because you can, you know, cover your expenses and, you know, make Christmas money, buy the kids gifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when fur prices are low, the animals still need to be kept in check.
Yeah, nuisance removal.
Well, just
management.
Just, yeah, from that perspective. But, I mean, just like your, like when we had Luke on there, him going out and knocking down, you know, almost over 2,500 raccoons, that provides a service to that whole area that he did that, as far as, you know, there's less raccoons to raid the turkey nests and, you know, go after quail, mm-hmm. getting gummed up in farmers' combines, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. Yeah. And so he's providing a huge service to the outdoor industries,
mm-hmm.
just in general to the farmers. And
same thing. Beaver side.
Yeah, on beaver side, you're knocking those guys down. I mean, beaver definitely provide a lot of good into the environment, but when they get too established and too many of them, they just can overwhelm, and you know, they'll mow every tree down around. And,
especially if you're counting on some natural irrigation, and they're getting all
they'll dam it up. They're just their goal is to expand the water, get access to more food,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're plenty energetic enough to put busy up some incredible busy beavers.
Beavers are going to beaver,
you know. So
and how fast they can?
How fast? It's incredible.
Quickly they can stop. The flow, like how they can quickly they can build one of those dams in at a legitimate size dam too.
Yes, I mean that was one of the places I was trapping as a kid. You know, when I was in college, I mean, at the end of this big slough over by Cahokia, there wasn't a dam there, and this is about 150 yards across the end of it. There wasn't a dam there, and the next day there was.
Wow!
And the first day it was nothing but a mud dam. They had just gone in there overnight and kicked up and dug up mud to build the foundation of a dam in one night.
Wow.
It wasn't.
How many beavers do you think were doing that?
I don't know. There was a giant colony in there, but I'm assuming that there was probably 10 or 12 kind of working together.
Yeah.
And they just have a phenomenal amount of energy, and they can really dig. And but just me and my dad were just sitting there going, this wasn't here yesterday.
That's so crazy.
You know, and it's here today. And then over the course of the next couple of weeks, they, you know, they brush in there, more mud, brush in there, and before you know it, it was, you know, 6 weeks later, it's holding 2 foot of water back.
What do you do? Do you just relocate the beavers?
No, you gotta
kill them.
Are river otters fair game when the trapping?
Yeah, they are now. I think Missouri, I think
depends
it's unlimited numbers.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
They're an issue at like Stockton and
don't take it personally.
Oh my God, the amount of fish they eat.
Oh my God, Palmy and Stockton. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever see the video where the guy had the beaver in his house and it's going around gathering up laundry and other things and damming up the hallway?
No way.
Oh, yeah. You put one on a roof, it's going to start building the dam out of whatever it can find.
I guess they just naturally do that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
There was a YouTube video of this beaver that was like a, you know, they it was hurt and they took it in when it was little and they kind of had it as a pet and it would just gather kids' toys, clothing, whatever, books, and just start stacking them up across the hallway.
Yeah.
So that's...
And I got to believe also that coyote is another animal, you know, for trappers that trappers deal with, at least in our area. With all the expansion, you know, of suburban neighborhoods, that we're got to be running right into coyote. That's got to be a problem that's growing, I would imagine.
So that, and they're incredibly adaptive.
So they'll stick around.
So they'll come in, you know, when a subdivision goes up.
And yeah, they'll stay.
People let their cats run around.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Now it's become a food
domestic
source.
Animals are real easy for a coyote to catch.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
And they catch them, especially cats. They seem to like house cats. Yeah. I mean, they do. They'll catch them and eat them.
And they're incredibly stealthy animals, too.
Oh, yeah.
Nocturnal, and they can... Mm-hmm. They can come and go. They can strike for you.
Yeah, and they're quick. And, you know, I always said that, you know, they got a bad attitude. There's two animals that are born. As soon as they're born, they hate the world.
Who are they?
It's a snapping turtle and a coyote. You know, they just hate everything. A little bitty snapping turtle the size of a quarter, you know, he's going to try to bite you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My son has an internal fear every time we go fishing of, because he heard me telling a story about, we've all hooked turtles, right? And it's not fun to hook a turtle and to have to get it off your line, especially if you're trying to do it the right way and you're trying to, you know, you don't want to just cut it off and leave a hook inside of a turtle's head. And just hearing me tell that story, if he's got his bobber in the water and there's a turtle in eye shot,
he reels her up.
He's like, I don't want that turtle, Dad. I don't want to catch that turtle, Dad. I'm like, buddy, you're all right. You can leave it in there. But you're right. They're mean.
Yeah, turtles mean.
And they can jump, too. You ever seen them jump on dry land? They can get, like, this high off the ground easy.
What?
Oh, yeah. Turtle will jump 3 feet off the ground easy.
They just would have so much strength in their back legs.
Yeah. Listen to me.
They just sort of
listen to me
themselves.
Right now. A turtle cannot jump 3 feet
absolutely
high.
Yeah. Big
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's about the height of his head when he's snapping at you. Yeah, because they lunge at you.
How big of a turtle are we talking about?
About this big.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're talking about a giant-ass turtle.
Alligator snapping turtle can get to be...
Yeah, they can get 100 pounds. 100 pounds, yeah.
And they can come
off... I'm picturing Yertle the turtle jumping 3 feet in the air.
No, but a common
Quentin's
snapping
turtle... Quentin's going to find it.
They'll jump up and lunge at you.
You got me video of a turtle jumping 3 feet in the air.
It's about where their head ends up.
Show me. You got a jumping turtle on this screen?
Let me see it. Epic turtle jump.
Let's see it. He ain't doing nothing. He's just sitting there.
Well, that ain't epic. That's a turtle falling.
That's a turtle fail.
That's about as bad as a raccoon.
That's me after four glasses of bourbon trying to get back to the basement.
Try to find
rolling
a
down the
you're
steps.
Telling
that's not epic.
Me.
Yes.
Something funny. We'll find a good one of a raccoon coming down a tree. They sort of fall out.
You two guys have seen
a
turtle jump 3 feet in
that's
the air.
It's about how far their
I feel
head,
like I'm being
that's about
like
how.
That's about when their neck's extended and they're biting at you. It's about probably 2.5 to 3 feet.
If you went where their back feet are, it's probably 18 inches off the ground.
When they leave here today, they're going to be out there in the hallway. They're going to be walking to their cars going, you believe we had that dumb bastard thinking that we did a girl could jump 3 feet in
it? They're strong.
They're extremely strong.
You got one, you think? Okay, maybe. Here we go. Take two on a turtle jump. No, 3 feet.
I'm telling you, there's video out there.
You gonna do it again? He did jump. I will say this: he jumped, and I didn't think they could jump. I didn't think they could jump.
No, they could
at all. And that was a jump.
Turtle man, you need to search for turtle man snapping turtle man.
All right.
Anyway, they got a bad attitude.
Turtle. They do.
Yeah,
they're gonna.
Are they? Do they? They're much of a trapping industry for them. Does that or is that even a thing?
Yeah, it's not so much a thing, but people like to catch them to eat them because they are very good.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, every time he sees one, throws it in the back of the truck, comes home and tells his wife, clean that turtle, he's out in the back of the truck.
And
they have turtle soup.
Yeah, down at the shop, Gene, he's our buddy down there. So when we'll pick one up and throw in the, same thing there. I mean, he'll come down and clean it.
Can I add one species to your list of they come out of the, they're born mean? Geese.
Geese are born pretty mean.
They're born pretty mean.
Especially when they got eggs.
You get a goose hissing at you? Yeah. I like how everybody's just staring at the screen like it's all on Quentin. It's all on Quentin to either prove or disprove the 3 foot jumping turtle. It's a lot of pressure over there, Q. Well, Q's looking.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Why can't I catch fish anymore?
I'm guessing that if you're catching that many bluegill and that many catfish, there's probably not that many bass in there.
So here's what I'm gonna ask you. I think many people, especially recreational fishermen, I am very stubborn. And, like, I use buzz baits for top water. I use crankbaits when I go underwater. If I think I need to slow things down, I may use, like, a swim bait or I may use some kind of popper, whether I'm above or below. I'm, of course, a spinner bait, but is there just, like, what would be your suggestion if you're just scrambling it,
shaky. I know quarter ounce shaky head with a Senko on.
I'm being told by these guys that fish there, and I'm telling you, I'm catching all these. I caught a crappie on a crankbait, which was cool. So I've caught crappie. I've caught catfish. My son's caught 1,000 bluegill. but I've not been able to catch a bass. And I'm told by the guys
I'm sure
there are
bass in
there,
but there's probably less bass in there than there. If there's that many bluegill in a small pond, there's not enough bass.
Well, it's about a 40-acre lake.
Oh, 40-acre lake?
I mean,
oh, then, yeah.
My guess is between 30 and 40 acres. You know, think like, I'm a North County guy, so I kind of base everything around Spanish Lake. You know,
right.
Spanish Lake, I think, is 36 acres, something like that, 34,
okay.
36
acres.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big lake.
Yeah, and this is that size lake. I mean, it's got a boat ramp. It's got,
that's not a pond. That's a lake.
Yeah, it's a lake. It's a man-made lake. It's been there for about, I think they said that it was established in 2016, so it's a fairly new man-made lake, but it's stocked and everything, and I see these guys, you know, taking the boats in and out of the water, and I've stopped and asked, talked to them a little bit, some of these guys that have been there, and they claim that there are bass in there.
Well, I'm sure there is.
I'm going to have to say he just hasn't found them yet.
Yeah, you haven't hit the right spot.
You haven't hit the right spot.
Now, I haven't been able to take a boat out, so I've been limited.
Oh, yeah.
I've been limited to walk in the bank,
sure.
And I've only hit, 10% of the entire lake.
That's the problem right there.
They're just not in the spot.
Yeah, you get your boat out there and with your buzz bait at night this summer, I guarantee you're going
to
catch a bass, yeah.
I mean, that's part of
it's covering water.
Yeah,
covering water, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't move fast enough on your 2 feet. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure there's obstacles and stuff. You're not. It's not just wide open, right?
No. It is. You can tell it was a very manufactured. I mean, it's got like 90 degree angles on some of the turns.
Okay.
So it's very. You know, it was definitely man made, and there's not as much natural structure, especially in the water.
Yeah.
Would normally be
any kind of vegetation, cattails, anything like that.
In some spots, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, that does help. Yeah, and there's some overhang. You know, there's some trees that are, you know, half in, half out the water that are overhanging and, you know, creating shade spots and things.
Sounds
like
it might need some help with some man-planted brush piles.
Yeah. And maybe they have done that. I mean, I literally found this place like 2 weeks ago. And I'm in love because we call it a one-song trip. You start a song in the driveway.
Oh, and it's still going?
And by the time you park,
it's not even the Allman Brothers.
The song's not over.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have to be Stairway to Heaven or anything like that. Like it
doesn't have to be the 27-minute version
of Whipping
Post.
Right.
Yeah.
It also could possibly a family of river otters came through and caught them all.
Yeah.
I mean, it is possible.
Yep. You know, speaking of turtles, there are a lot of turtles in there. I've always been told the turtles are bad news. I've had friends
They're fish eaters
That have farm ponds that if they see a turtle and it
gets a 22 to the year.
Yeah, yeah. It's everything we can do to get them out of there. Like we're getting them out of there. Is that
That's true.
Is that true?
Yeah, if you've got a lot of turtles and snakes and bullfrogs, you got a lot less fish. Not that the bullfrogs are eating anything, but if there's big bass in those, frogs would be long gone.
Will turtles drive fish away? Like if they're in the same body of water, like the Lake of the Ozarks. The Lake of the Ozarks has tons of turtles.
Oh.
If you're in a spot, there's a spot that's in our cove where there's a cleaning sink on the dock where clearly somebody does a lot of fish cleaning.
So turtles are always around.
Turtles around there. Would that be a place that fish would avoid if there's always – so, no.
Not any of the bass that I'm looking for because they're big and fast enough to get away from a turtle.
But would they put their nest there?
If it's a protected area behind, you know.
I mean, or would they just go somewhere that the turtles aren't?
The turtles will find them.
Yeah. And I'm not too –
when it comes spawn, the turtles know when it spawns on, right?
So if
they're
there's
nest
a lot
raiders,
of turtles,
sure.
I don't need to avoid that from fishing.
Nah.
Okay. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Not if you're looking
same
for
stuff
bass.
That's bringing the turtles in there is also going to bring little fish in there to eat those little particles, and that's going to bring bigger fish to eat those little fish.
And those little turtles get eaten by big bass, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Such is the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song about that. All right, we are going to get you the all-important weekly fishing report next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL. And we drank all the beer. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show. One more segment to go here. We got the fishing report coming for you in just a moment. I want to remind you If you missed anything from today's show or just want to make sure you never miss anything, all the great conversations that we have here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show, make sure you are subscribed to our podcast. We put the show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every day on basically every podcast platform. And so all you have to do is search Bluff City Outdoor Show wherever you get podcasts, and you will find us. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Also, great time of the year to be out. Bluff City Outdoors, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's in Alton. Perfect time to stock up. I just got a breaking news there at the break. I got a call from my wife who said the cicadas have emerged. So I think if they're
take
not
take cover
as this weekend hits again. You know, people listen at all different days, whether it be Saturday, Sunday, or the podcast, whatever it is. If the podcast or if the cicadas aren't at your house yet, they're going to be there any day. And I think they're almost about everywhere.
Could
now.
Make those archery events interesting. With
could
this.
Could yeah, with all those cicadas flying around,
might
yeah.
not be able to hear yourself think.
That's a good point. Yeah, they do get loud. Mm-hmm. They do get loud. So yeah, all your fishing needs, of course, all your bow hunting needs, trapping needs, everything. Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's there, open every day, 7 days a week. Have some fun, shoot in the archery range, which is open every day. The Techno Hunt System's open every day, and stock up for your next trip out on the water. Also, want to remind you about all these great outdoor activities. It's also grilling season. Next time you are out barbecuing, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, great local family-owned business that has been rated the number one consumer-ranked charcoal 9 years running. So you're supporting local business, you're supporting local industry, and you're using a great product. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is just superior in every way to the traditional briquettes. It burns faster. It burns hotter. Most importantly, it burns cleaner. Just gives you more control of your grilling experience across the board. So make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal next time you grill. Also, because of all that stuff, because it's more pure, because it doesn't have all the filler in it, a 20-pound bag of Rockwood goes a whole lot further than a 20-pound bag of the briquettes. So you're getting a lot more bang for your buck as well. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is available at over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, let's get into this week's fishing report. Mark, take it away.
Yep. Before we do, though, real quick, anybody finds that video of the snapper turtle jumping 3 feet, send the link to my Facebook page so I can forward that to Tony.
Yes.
He doesn't believe it
exists. Yeah, I'm about to put a bounty on it if somebody can actually prove that
it's
exists.
My mission tonight, bourbon and turtle man. I'm going to find it.
See it. What these guys mixture. Are at the break trying to find a video of a 3-foot jumping turtle, and I'll believe it when I see it.
And all we could find was a big catfish eating a rat.
It's true.
So, okay. Composure time. Let's get back. Okay.
We
Fisher
got a
report.
Phone call about cicadas, and we watched a video of a rat getting eaten by a catfish.
And they took the rat out so the catfish could live.
Yeah.
So,
they
pretty cool.
Pulled the rat out of the catfish gullet so the catfish could live to eat another one.
Yeah, that's true conservationist. Yep. So, first stop, Truman Lake. Jordan Lear, he's a guy and a buddy out there. Mm-hmm. Crappier Fair, fishing around the spawning pockets where the old bank line is. Like, hasn't changed much the last couple weeks because the water hasn't changed much the last couple weeks. With higher water levels, expect there to be out a little deeper, 10 to 20 feet. Staying in timber, still producing jigs and minnows. Catfish good, fish the flooded fields in the back of the creeks with the new water coming in. Night crawlers and cut chatter, your best bait, fish 2 to 10 feet. Bass Fair, fishing the back of the creeks and around cover with spinnerbaits and squarebill crankbaits, 2 to 10 feet. Walleye Fair, fish the main lake points in the pockets with crawler harnesses and throwing jigs, 2 to 15 feet. White bass and hybrids, good. Fish the main lake points and the windbone blanks, 2 to 8 feet, 3-inch paddle tails, rooster tails, and white and chartreuse. Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain Fishing Intel, fishing are moving up to the banks again. Said most bites are coming in 6 to 7 feet of water, a cork 18 inches deep. Color doesn't seem to matter, so the bass are 3 to 8 feet. Water back in the pockets. Jigs are working good. Carlisle, Eric Morey. Fishing magician. Current conditions that the crappie are very sporadic, but are catchable on the rocks with jigs under a small float. Said the shad are spawning still on the rocks and has a catfish pushed up on the banks because they're eating those shad, just like they always do. Local lakes and rivers, Eric Moore, the local lakes doing well. Mm-hmm. Crappie, bass, bluegill are on the banks and said the fishing opportunities are very good. Catch them small curly tails on 16-ounce jig heads from the bank. Catfish bites good on cut shad and also close to the bank as they're up there spawning. Mississippi and Missouri river catfishing, rivers are still running high and fast. not as much junk out there. The catfish bite's been pretty good on skipjack. Not getting any reports on catching a skipjack, you know, below the dams or anything yet. I think the water's still too rough and rugged. Wren, Fred Mooney, guiding a buddy out there, said water temps in the 60s. Fishing are pushing into the shallows, primarily using slip bobbers and minnows 10 to 12 inches deep around every stick around the shoreline. Again, he's complaining about the wind blowing too much, and he said the stump field should be full of the spawning females. And it's really picked up out there. I talked to the bait guy, Dave Cassens. The amount of minnows they're going through out there is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I know it's really getting good.
Yeah, that's a sign about just how good the crappie fishing is, right?
Yep. Yeah. Shelbyville and Nick Rose, Ramblin' Rose Guide Service. It's crappie bites picking up good, getting better each day. Most of the fish are still suspended in open water. I think it's because it keeps changing on them. They're beginning to stage near the mouths of the common spawning areas and look in the shallow basins near the river channel. And you should find some success, and said sunny days have been the best, but we haven't had many of those.
Yeah.
And Gabe Montgomery, Southern Illinois Lakes. Yeah, water temps in the high 60s, low 70s. It said there's still a stain in the creeks, and some coves are receiving a lot of runoff from the recent rains. Bass fishing has been a little tricky due to the recent spawn. Said the bass started moving off the beds. They're in a slight funk. However, the crappie and bluegill are on the beds. And I know the bluegill are tons of crickets being sold. And said, what else? Look for post-spawn spawning, targeting outdoors. These bluegill and crappie. As a swim jig can be deadly this time of year. Have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Over to Mike.
Hey, the lake is up and moving, dude. There's 50,000 at both ends. Water temps are at 64 to 71, depending on where you're at.
What's your ideal temperature?
Right where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best time. I mean,
that's
it's
a beautiful thing.
Catch numbers. It's 1.5 foot under full pool, so around 458.5. The lake went from super clean to stained all over and chocolate milk in places. The Osage Arm starts to muddy around where the Lynn Creek and the Niangua come in. You get above the 50, and it looks like Yoo-Hoo, and there's lots of debris floating up there. The best places to find the cleanest water that's stained but not dirty is the mouths of, like, the Niangua, the Gravois, the Glaze, any of the big creeks. That first couple miles will be your cleanest. Once you get up, it's going to be super dirty. But don't let that dirty water get in your head. Once it's been dirty for a bit, and in hillbilly definition of a bit, 4 or 5 days, those fish are used to it.
I was going
to
ask you that. Like, is it, do you, when you see the dirty water, should you run? Or
Not if it's been dirty for a while. You're good. But they will hold tight to cover right when it first gets dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would, Jim Dill's fishing report, he said it, and I thought it was a great analogy. It's like if you're in the middle of the room and somebody shuts the lights off, what's the first thing you do? You go to try to find the wall and get your bearings. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing fish do. They'll go to the bank, or they'll go to, like, a good place to catch them when that happens is boat ramps, like the ones that they don't use anymore off of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go step right up on that concrete.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a little inside action there.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
And with all that current, even though the spawn's going on, there's some pre's and posts that are still out on the main lakes, the bluffs, that sort of thing. There's still, in my opinion, there's more pre-spawn fish than there are, and then there is spawning fish and post-spawn fish. So look for those staging areas, steeper banks leading into the flatter areas. Best baits that are working is wacky rig, dirty water. You want to use dark colors.
Mm-hmm.
So your black and blues, your June bugs, your green pumpkins. Quarter ounce shaky head with a Senko. Hop it, drag it, shake it. And I got a tip too, like, fish it like I was fated to fish a jerkbait. Throw it on the bank or right to the bank. Reel it off like it's swimming off that first couple feet where it starts to drop, and let it set there the longest, and maybe shake it and then work it back to you. Most of your bites will come on that first thing. They'll see it swim off, stop, and they'll come and get it.
Mm-hmm.
This, with all the debris in the water, and it's my favorite pre-spawn and post-spawn is a tube, because that tube will go through all that snot grass, that slimy polleny stuff, the sawdust mats we were talking about. Texas rig tube will punch right through that. It's a great bait. Of course, topwater's in play to chug bug and the spook. And a lot of people fish fluorocarbon now and don't know. Put mono on when you're fishing topwater baits like that, because it really helps the action of a popper or a chugging bait. And, of course, the buzz bait, Tony, the Crocagator head knocker, is probably the best bait to throw down there. And give it
my
a week.
Favorite.
Give it a week or two, and we're going to be full post-spawn. And with that current flowing, man, you're going to want to get a 5/8 ounce, 3/4 ounce jig and go out on those ledges and main lake points, bluff ends, and stroke that jig. You let it go to the bottom and just hammer it up off the bottom. So you're going to need a big rod, heavy line, so you can move a lot of line and get that bait to go up 3, 4, 5 feet off the bottom, then let it drop like a rock. So a trailer with lots of action, big profile, you're going to catch lots of big fish from 2 weeks till the spawn or till full blown summertime. And, you know, always wear your life jacket and kill switch. Spinner bait up shallow too, and like less than 18 inches. Big Colorado blade with this watercolor, and don't be a dick.
And don't be a dick. And if all else fails, especially right now, just go out in your backyard, scoop up a big bucket full of cicada, and
stick a hook on them and throw them on top.
Yeah, split shot them, and it's game on, baby.
Here we go. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week. For producer Quentin, Mike Marfell, and my partner Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for being here for another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Get down in the bare feet, take a stroll around my